Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, we are live, and I'm still learning the ropes here, so I'm not sure if I'm getting anything, but if anybody wants to call in at the 215-867-8255 number, then I kind of know that I am live. But as I try to move forward here, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and so I may have just kind of muffed up, but I'm still learning the ropes, so I apologize. But let me move forward. Again, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And so if you want to call in live, you can. The site info is also MobiusStripPress.com, so you can get all of our content and good information. What we're looking to do is get into this or set the stage so that I can get into teaching about republicanism and so forth. And there are lots of terms that I'm going to be using. And many of these terms, like Platonist and American republicanism, and I've already talked about the hybrid constitutional republic, many of these shows will kind of gloss over some of these terms that I use. So I'm only asking that you make sure you download these podcasts so you can kind of listen and dovetail all of this information, because it all basically meshes this content together. So it creates a fabric of understanding for you to understand how we got into this position, what the framers really gave us, and how we can take it back. And so consequently, you need to listen to all of these podcasts. So don't forget, you can download them at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You're more than welcome again to call in, and so I'm going to kind of repeat this because I'm still new on Red State Radio, and again, I'm still learning the ropes. And so I have the 3 C's rule. And so if you understand who I am and know my name or anything about me, I just ask you to be confidential if you call in, and don't use my name or anything regarding my person, because I want to keep that kind of private from the public forum, at least until it gets too far, you know, because obviously when I start making a dent, it will be, you know, this information, my personal information will be thrown out into the public. And in doing so, what will end up happening is I will be outed with the proverbial quotes. And in the outing process, I'm hoping that I'm far enough along to where security and those types of things really aren't that big of an issue at this point in my life. Because if you start to garner the concept of Republic Review and this content that I'm actually trying to espouse and teach you, then you'll understand that this is a program, and this is content that will literally upset the horse cart. And so are the buggy or the cart, whatever. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be probably looking to either silence or come after me or what have you. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm hoisting my own petard and making myself feel better. But anyway, the second C is civility. I just ask that if you want to call in, just make sure that you have a good civil debate. No name calling, no expletives and that type of thing. And I'll excuse me. Also, I ask you that you be concise, because believe it or not, an hour really flies by. And as I, you know, get better at doing what I'm doing here, as I'm flying alone, because this is interesting with Red State Talk Radio, just on a tangent, if I might go there. I've never really done my own studio engineering and all of that stuff, which is kind of how the model here. And it's really nice, because if you're a control freak, you would love this. But if you like learning and learning new things, that's what I love. And, you know, I don't mind the controls bit. It's okay to employ other people. When I go to Lowe's or any store that has the self-checkout and a human being, I'll always go to the human being, because I don't think they're paying that automated process enough money. In other words, they're not paying me any money to check me out. And so why would I want to relieve some business that is hoping to do transactions with me, their responsibility in doing that? And sometimes it's nice to have somebody say, hello, how you doing? Are you missing anything? And then I guess there's some people that really like the convenience, and maybe they're introverts. They don't want to talk to anybody. I don't know. But anyway, let me get back to this. I'm not looking to preach. I'm not looking to save anybody's soul. But as you noticed yesterday, I talk a lot about the context of Christianity, and I talk a lot about how it is enveloped in our history. And the progressives, the secular progressives, and I'll even go further in saying the National Secular Progressive Church and their Sunday school, which you would refer to as their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school, those guys, the secular progressives, guys and gals, they've done a great job in removing and revising our history so that you don't know just how Christian we are. And I'm going to get into all of this. And again, I will have that information as we, you know, talk to other guests and so forth, and I'll talk about that. But I'm not here trying to preach. I'm not here trying to save any souls, like I just said. What I am preaching is to motivate you and inspire you to take action in saving our republic and restoring it to the republic that it was. I'm not looking necessarily to create some of the problems with their paradigms that they had back in those days, because even Madison saw that there were some deficiencies with the Constitution. And so if you want to get into that dialogue of what do I consider as a deficiency in the Constitution and how republic review would be a huge, not even a huge, it is the solution, folks. There is no other way we're going to get back to a constitutional republic. There's no other way we will be able to save our republic without republic review. Even if Trump waved a wand and Congress actually at the State of the Union tonight, if you watch and you see this flash in the room, and all of a sudden all the congressmen, both Democrats and Republicans, give him everything he wants, that still does not solve the problem, because the next despot that takes that office can easily come back and restore all of the bad government and everything else. The only stakeholders that have the ability to draw that line and literally leave, if you want to say this union, or I should say, set the standards for what that federal government is doing, is the states. I mean, the states are that stakeholder. And most people under the education system of the Civil War truly believe that, you know, the states can't secede. However, if you understand the context and the contractual conversations that were sold to the states, no. This is a contract. And if the contract is violated, in all intents and purposes, that contract is null and void if the states choose to void it. It is up to both stakeholders, or I should say both parties in the contract, the federal government and the states. And so those states actually had a constitutional right, or a contractual right, to step out of the union. And I'll get into, you know, the Civil War and so forth in just a minute here. However, if we're looking at the context of what the states were able to do and what they're not able to do, they were able to leave because it is a contract and because the contract was being voided, and I will get into that. But let me tell you about some of the guests that I'm going to have on. I plan on having Tom DeWeese, who is the president of the, I think it's the American Policy Center, and I'm planning on having, I will tell you who else I'm going to have on after we have a word from our sponsors. But please hang on, stay tuned, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Rippey Homes believes that the American dream is not simply owning your home, but owning your dream home. Are you ready to upgrade, expand, or start your own custom home? If you are, I'd like to invite you to check out Rippey Homes at cgrippey.com. They offer end-to-end service from real estate to remodeling and specializes in custom homes, and they love to partner with their customers in making a difficult project worry-free. From the design to the moving in, they are with you every step of the way. If you have that dream home and looking to remodel, whether it's converting your kitchen and bath into your own heaven on earth or adding a new room, Rippey Homes has the tools, talent, and experience you can trust. So if you're ready to pull the trigger on a remodel or building that custom home, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me. It's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and the number to call in if you want to join in the discussion is 215-867-8255. And so, those guests that I was talking about, I'm looking to have Tom DeWeese, like I said, and he's the president of the American Policy Center. Why do I forget that? APC. And we're planning on having Trevor Lawden on. He's got a book coming out, and I want to help give some exposure to that, as well as I'm planning on working with both of those gentlemen with my Reclaiming the Republic rodeos or Republic Review rodeos. I've also got and hoping to have Dr. Vile on soon. I don't know if I necessarily want to replay my interviews with him on Red State Talk Radio. I've had three interviews with him already. He's a professor out of Middle Tennessee University that's written like 40 books. They're really good books. He's an academic on the Constitution. We've had all these conversations, and it's not like there's ever been one time where he said, "Hey, GR, there's no way what you're doing is constitutional." And you've heard me say this before. There is no way an academic can prove me that Republic Review, or prove to anyone that Republic Review is unconstitutional. That's because I use the source documents. And so hope to have Dr. Vile back on, because I want to get some further dialogue and discussion regarding the Convention of States and so forth. And I've talked to him in vacuums, in other words, on one-on-one, but some of this content, I think it's really important that we kind of put it out there, because he has a vast understanding of both law, even though he doesn't have a JD. He does have a PhD, and he is the dean of political science, and he's a very, very smart guy, and have a great amount of respect for him, even though we don't agree on one little thing, but we almost agree on everything else. So anywho, I hope to have him on. Ward Connerly, I know he's got a book coming out, and I've had him on the show before. I'd like to get him on, and I have a lot more in store, and I'm working on getting them into a queue. So please, if you really want to hear not just my perspective on Republic Review, I want you to hear others. And if you didn't notice, I actually have people on that don't necessarily agree with me, and we have great civil dialogue and debate over this. And so I think you'll find it not just entertaining, but I think you'll also find it very educational. And that's the whole point of this show, because I want to give you knowledge, because I want to make you a constitutional weapon. That's right. Become a constitutional warrior and you become a constitutional weapon, and you will become probably a hated and what's the best word for it? Somebody that will be loathed and have disdain by the state, or those statists that want to basically subjugate us and make us behave well and do those things that they want us to do. But anyway, I want to basically go into something that you really never learned in school, and that's regarding republicanism. I think by the standard definition, most everybody can recite. Well, actually, let me clarify. Very few people really even understand the word republicanism, and a lot of them can't necessarily recite it. But everybody that does understand republicanism will tell me, oh, well, that means it's a representative government. And that's the old definition. We actually created a new definition in the American Enlightenment and the American evolution of government, as we created this hybrid constitutional republic. And as I've mentioned, we talked yesterday a little bit about the sovereignties. And so there is no doubt that the framers understood the sovereignty of the people. And as a matter of fact, what does the Constitution start off with? We the people. But that's not we the people in the form of a democracy. And Madison stated it very clearly, and I'll actually quote it later on, but I'm going to paraphrase. It was June 6th, 1788, in the Virginia, I'm trying to remember the place. It was like a theater that they actually used that was built by a Frenchman. And, oh, by the way, a little side note, that theater was consecrated and blessed, like all the public buildings and buildings of purpose, even personal buildings, were consecrated and blessed for this, you know, the sanctity and the work of the Lord and so forth. And so most of our public buildings that are federal buildings that were built back in the, you know, the 17 and 18, early 1800s, they were consecrated and blessed. And, you know, it's amazing that all of these secular progressives don't just have heart attacks when they walk in there. But anywho, I digress. The Republican form of government that they created recognized sovereignty, and they did recognize that people within states and within any type of polity or government, people surrender some of their liberties when they establish a government. And so when you look at the states have their own constitutions, and inside those constitutions are the delegated powers that the people have given those states. However, when the new republic took form, guess what? Every single state went through a constitutional change because they had to abide by this new constitution. And there's this little thing in Article 4, Section 4 that says, and the United States will guarantee a republican form of government. Now, you didn't know this, but almost every state, I shouldn't say almost every state, about half of the states in the colony were unicameral. In other words, they only had one legislative body. Most of the states in the colonies, or I should say most of them, that didn't have these bicameral legislative bodies, they had to reorganize themselves and they had to reorganize their constitutions to form bicameral legislative bodies. Why was that? Because in the Constitution and in this new evolution of republicanism, they recognize the sovereignty of the people of a given geographical space. That's why the states had their own interests, and that's why they respected the interest of the states. And the framers recognized the fact that the state of Georgia had different interests than the state of Massachusetts. They had different needs. They didn't necessarily need all the cold protection in Georgia, nor did they need all the heat protection in Massachusetts. Well, sometimes in the summer it gets kind of bad, but that's the humidity factor. But anyway, the whole point that I'm trying to drive here is that the interests of the states were literally becoming different. And Madison even talked about this as the Republic was going to grow west. They knew that they were going to create new states out of these territories, the territories of Virginia, the territories of Ohio, and so forth. And so Madison knew, and as a matter of fact, Madison was on record for saying he didn't think the Constitution would survive 50 years because he felt that the interests of the hinterland states, the states on the inside, would not be the same as the states on the coast, and that their needs and requirements would drive some type of friction and or change to where there may be a complete rewriting of the Constitution. This is Madison saying this, that the Constitution itself he didn't think would survive that growth as we started going west. And so what they did was they recognized the sovereignty of the states and they built that into American republicanism. And it was just a common thing. They understood this, that the counties became the sub-element of the states. And that's why counties had legislative representation as well as senator representation. Well, that's not the same anymore, folks. Because we've slid towards democracy, our representation is all apportioned by population and not apportioned by geographical area, then population. And so many of the states in the Union are actually suffering. And if you happen to know people that are living in non-populated counties and they're suffering from the population centers, and a good example is California. There are counties in California where 10 counties compete for their one representation. And how, if you understand the different interests and the different needs of the counties, then you would actually get into, you know, why they did this. And so we're going into a hard break. I will get into this more when we get back. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and the number to call in if you want to join in the discussion is 215-867-8255. And I can't help but think that if you listen to that last promo and you don't understand what businesses are supporting the progressive ideals and the social justice, they have a big event this coming Sunday, I think it is. And so the question is, are you supporting this company and this business and this monopoly in their efforts of social justice? That's just something for you to ponder. Anywho, I was talking about the sovereignties and the two sovereignties. And so if you're starting to fathom republicanism and you're starting to understand that republicanism isn't just representative government of people, it is the representative government of the counties. And so we allowed them through the revisionist process and through democracy, socialism, communism, and all of that, because that's exactly where democracy always leads us. And it's not just us, it's historic mankind, us, then you can understand that what we have is a slide, and we're no longer abiding by the Constitution. There's no doubt in this. And as a matter of fact, I am working with, I'm going to reach out to the legislatures in California that are trying to split that state. And I'm actually trying to work with some others up in Washington state where they're talking about the 51st state, and they're hoping that they become that 51st state and putting that into this vacuum. Let's think about this. If the 51st state, if California, these people in the counties in California, the people in the counties of Washington, and there's other states that start recognizing, hey, we have lost our voice and our representation. We have lost our fundamental rights as Americans to have a voice in our politics because the Electoral College has been pulled into democracy as well as the state legislative processes. And so getting these counties to start screaming to Congress and saying, where is our voice? Where is our representation? We are living under tyranny. Then I'll bet you anything Congress will fix this because it's only for Congress to fix. This is a political issue, and it's clearly in the Constitution. The states actually abided by it originally, and slowly and surely. I mean, why did all the new states create counties? Just because it was a good idea? There's only one state that didn't have counties, and that's because it was divided as a republic by another nationality, and that's Louisiana. They had parishes. All other states, they didn't develop parishes. They developed counties. They didn't develop some other type of schema because the Constitution dictated that you would have these counties and you would have the seat of government. And those counties were actually, in those days, based on one day's travel, because if you were going to vote, you had to be able to travel one day to your county seat and back. Because some of these states, like Pennsylvania and so forth, there was just no way you could travel from, you know, the far recesses of Pennsylvania to get to the Capitol to vote. How were you going to vote? So they created these seats of government so that you would have, one, a regional voice as well as a regional representation and a process in the voting process. And again, I go down tangents of voting and so forth, but I'm just really trying to drive this whole point on republicanism. Republicanism is about representation, and American republicanism is about representation of sovereignties. And in the Federalist Paper number 10, 46, and other Federalist Papers, Madison talks about these sovereignties. And Sherman, in his Connecticut Compromise, was clear that the states were sovereigns, that the citizens had already delegated their liberties and sovereignty in some fashions to the states, that the states actually had self-interest. And that's one of the reasons why the Senate was created. And that's specifically why the Senate has these unique powers and oversight over these types of things like judges, treaties, and those types of things, because those were really to the interest of the states, not the people. That's why the House of Representatives has this house and body that, you know, has oversight over war, because it's the people that are going to have to fight those wars. So if you had a clash between the states and the people, then, you know, you would have your level of representation and you would have division in Congress. But what we have in Congress is division on parties, no longer divisions of interest of the sovereigns. And so the sovereigns are actually divided, like I said yesterday. So anyway, as we look at these two state sovereigns and moving forward, I'm hoping that we actually can, through these other states requesting division, in other words, California and Washington and maybe more states, start dividing. Maybe Idaho will divide, and maybe Utah will divide, because, you know, these population centers typically try to rule the rest of the people, and they try to do what's best for them, but not what's best for everybody. And that's why we've lost this concept of American republicanism. I wanted to also, because I'm setting the stage and why I've done all of these things, and why, you know, this reclaiming the republic has been modeled the way it is. And I think one of the interesting things that I'm using that I think you would like to know, and most people go, well, what is that music that you use? And that music that I'm using is Fanfare for the Common Man. And Fanfare for the Common Man was written by Aaron Copland. He was an American composer, and he lived during FDR's time. And you probably would guess, maybe not, that the Vice President of the United States came to Aaron Copland and he says, "We need a rally song." And the Vice President was Henry Wallace, and he was actually a socialist, communist kind of person. And he was really, the reason he went was the credo that he was trying to create is the age of the common man. What does that sound like? The age of the common man. It almost has a mirroring effect within Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all of these progressive concepts and or far left organizations that, you know, are going, it's about, you know, the man, the laborer, the unions. And so if you understand what Fanfare of the Common Man was meant to do, and I believe it's a very powerful musical piece, and I, you know, always loved it. But when I did the research, I go, wow, they were trying to use this song for public purposes and so forth to try to get people to buy into surrendering their liberty. And I go, it would just be apropos to take the song that they used and they tried to use in moving us towards communism and socialism. And they've done a pretty good job since then, by the way. I figured it would be apropos to take this and try to use this exact same song for standing up for the liberty of the common man and the individual sovereignty, not for the collective power, but to take back our individual liberty and our individual sovereignty, because collectivizing power is the essence of communism. It's the essence of social justice and the progressive movement in trying to create a distribution of wealth, like I say in that promo. So there you go. That's the background on that song, and that's why it's embedded into this concept. And I'm trying to work with a rock and roll band to kind of redo this rendition, and I'm hoping that I can get that moving forward in the near future. But I'm not the household name yet. So are we in the age of the awakening? And I will tell you that we are. I've told people, and I say this in my book, I believe the awakening began when Bush Sr. left office, when he started spewing this concept of the, you know, 1,000 points of light, the New World Order, you know, global economy and all of that. And there's a really fascinating book I read by Tex Mars. It was The Dark Majesty. And it talked a lot about Bush and what Bush was doing. And so I wanted to kind of throw that out there so that you can kind of, you know, think of some other references. If you want to read a really good book, that's one of those. But I'm also throwing it out there because this is an old ideological war that we're fighting. And I want you to understand this. This ideological war started back at the beginning of mankind. And these two points, as I use them in my book, there's really only two philosophies, the two extremes of the philosophies. And every other philosophy is just a light of one or a light of the other. One end of the spectrum is full enslavement and subjugation. The other end of the spectrum is full liberty. And on the liberty side is where you will find justice and mercy and tolerance. And on the subjugation side, you will find justice, but you will find no mercy and you will find no tolerance. And that's why, my friends, the left is completely intolerant towards anything you want to do. And so if you start thinking about it in that context, then I believe it'll start making sense to you why they're so intolerant and why they're throwing us out to the dogs whenever they get a chance to. Well, we're at a hard break, and I am going to be right back after a word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships, from the designers they work with to the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner. They relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculpture taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, or simply adding a room, a bath remodel, they take a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component to the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream to make your dreams become a reality. Contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippy.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and the number to call in if you want to join in the discussion is 215-867-8255. And with that, we're also talking about the subjugation and the contrast of liberty in this civil war that I was just kind of going into. Because if we put this whole opposing or this contrast of concepts of subjugation or communism, statism, even in theology, you can see there are theocracies that believe submission and or death. In other words, you either convert or die. And you'll find that, as I said last night, that you will see in Christianity that you are free to come and go. And as I mentioned, I spoke to a pastor that Christ's doctrine was basically full liberty and full sovereignty. He didn't want people to live and be subjugated to a, you know, to his ideology. You couldn't grab a person, drag him into the water and baptize him. That would not save the person. The person had to do it on their own. And so that's how important liberty was. And that's why Madison, in his essay on property, talked about the most valuable property that we possess is the property of our conscience. And so when we start moving down that path of going away from that, then you will actually see us getting into the full subjugation. And one would think that, well, they're never going to be able to control our thoughts, right? Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen Minority Report? I digress. Let me get into one of my fundamental premises. If you go to my Mobius Strip Press page on MobiusStripPress.com, you will actually see on the very top left-hand side, I have a little statement. And civil society is wholly dependent. This is the statement. Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis between the fundamental principles of liberty, which are free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, liberty then can act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual wealth and or spiritual well-being, greater productivity, improved health, and development of wealth. And so, if you kind of understand how important liberty is and these fundamental factors of liberty, free agency, responsibility, and accountability, then we shouldn't be subjugated on anything regarding, you know, our healthcare or the, you know, or the type of car we have to buy or the type of toilet, the type of light, you know, the whole thing. I mean, what aspect of our life do we have the freedom to buy or do anything anymore? That's how far our liberties have slid. And most people, well, I mean, I can buy three different types of light bulbs. Well, if somebody wanted to bring something to the market to sell you, they should be able to do that. If the state steps in, now the states can actually regulate what they sell and what they don't sell. However, they can't regulate products being manufactured in one state and somebody bringing it in to sell in your state. You know why? The Constitution doesn't let them do that. The Constitution has this thing called the Commerce Clause, where states cannot deny other states for their ability to sell their products and or goods or what have you. Now, if nobody buys them, that's one thing. But the states can't create economic warfare against each other. And that was the problem with the Civil War. So if you kind of get your head around this Commerce Clause and what it was really intended to be, not some little portal for the federal government to basically regulate every facet of our lives. No, the Commerce Clause was literally a protection to keep states from becoming tyrannical, like the state of New York, having all the commerce coming through, or California, Seattle, wherever these ports are. Why can't they start putting tariffs and taxes? That would be violating the Commerce Clause. And out in Washington State, in a little city called Spokane tried to have an initiative where they were going to tax harmful goods that were coming in on rail that were passing through their city, such as coal, oil, and those types of things. And they wanted to fine them for transporting these harmful goods. That would have been a blatant violation of the Commerce Clause. You can't do that. And so states don't have that authority to snub other states. And so you have to kind of resolve those things. And that's the only facet of the Commerce Clause that the federal government actually has this control on. They can't, constitutionally, they cannot be telling you what kind of light bulb you have to use or what manufacturers can manufacture, such as toilets and so forth. So anyway, if you can understand, the individual liberty was not an accident in the makeup of this country. It was something that was actually innate within within the human species. Every person wants to be free. Every person wants to have the ultimate say. Even progressives want to be free for themselves, but they want the state to control you, the elitist especially. And most progressives, they just think, oh, we're better off being controlled by the state because then we'll all have the same level playing ground and the state's going to make everything even. They can't do it, folks. The history has proven that they can't do it at the expense of the people, or when they do it, it is at the expense of the people, because that's how millions and millions of people die. And so I figured I've got a little bit of time left, so let me kind of tell you about my first book and maybe my second book and third book. The third book's not published, but and it's not even edited. I've just kind of got the manuscript out there. But the first book is an interesting book because it's literally four books in one. The first section of this book is a historical narrative of liberty, and that's why I go through all of this, so that people can start putting into context what individual liberty and individual sovereignty is. The second book in this book, or the second section of this book, is how through American Enlightenment and through Christendom and everything else that was coming from Europe and what was happening here in our Petri dish, because we were isolated. We were like in a vacuum because they didn't have, open commerce that could flow in a day. You couldn't get there. It took months to even send letters because we were dictated by weather and all sorts of things. And so we were literally in this vacuum, and we allowed ourselves this enlightenment through the openness of Christianity to blossom into these concepts of individual liberty. And that is why they created such an open and non-restrictive constitution with the Bill of Rights protecting us. And so I get into those details, exactly how they did this and why and what we got. The third book, or the third section, is the obfuscation of the Constitution and who was responsible. And I first start talking about the string of kings, starting with Andrew Jackson. And the second part, I go into Congress, and I also go into the Supreme Court and how all three of these entities have been obfuscating what our individual liberties are as they slowly moved us towards this statist ideology and this secular progressive national government church state and everything else that we've got today. It's just out of hand, folks. And that's why I was talking about this enlightenment of the 90s during the Clintons. People started recognizing after Bush some of the things that he did and what the Clintons were doing. It created this awakening, and that's what drove the Tea Party and why we're here where we are today. And it was one of the reasons why I started pursuing the documents so heavily into finding the solution that, voila, I actually got that. And so the fourth and final section in my first book is the reclaiming of the Republic, and it is the essence of Republic Review. I didn't call it that until my second book, which is the fifth section, or the fifth book. But the second book, see, the first book was, all kind of comprised as a part of the argument, and I needed all of these things to support the ultimate argument. The second book is the book of, well, okay, now that we all agree, or now that this argument has been stated, how do we get there? So that is the strategy. And the title, a lot of people don't like it, but the title, because I was still in kind of a vacuum in the intelligence community, I didn't understand all these hypersensitivities, the strategy to convene a convention for Republic Review. And that's where Republic Review was really born, this auditing concept of auditing the federal government by the states. And so as we start going down this path, well, how do we get there? Now that we all kind of start agreeing, well, that second book is what we do. The third book is more of, okay, now that we've got enough states moving in the direction of Republic Review and actually auditing, once we get that going, then that third book will come out. And actually, I'll have an executive summary out before that. But the essence of this book is, well, how do we get these states, one, to communicate? Because we're not going to create a convention. These states are going to start working and communicating online. And so I talk about the architecture. I try to use, and you don't need to reinvent the wheel here, folks. What we want to do is kind of use the exact same protocols and processes that the states were using before, from the Continental Congress, even the Constitutional Convention, and so forth, and how the states worked in repelling and getting their liberty property secured once again when they were under threat or the perceived threat. And so that's what that third book is going to be all about. And so you're more than welcome. It's available out on Amazon. If you want to get a signed copy, make sure you buy it from the Mobius Strip Press portal on Amazon, or you come to MobiusStripPress.com and I will sign you a copy. Actually, I personalize it because usually I'll put a little message in there for whomever is purchasing it. So if you want a special message for somebody else, make sure you let me know that, because as long as I can sign these things and make them personal, every single one will go out that way, because I just want to make sure I value that type of stuff myself. I value that personalized copy. If that means anything to you as well, then great. If not, then okay, I get it. But at this point in time, I'm out of time, and I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll even talk more about setting the stage and how we can reclaim the republic. This is G.R. Mobley, and with that, I hope you have a blessed evening, and we will talk to you tomorrow evening. God bless.